There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
I love a brighter smile. What I don't love is that little wince when I take a sip of something cold or even breathe in cold air. You know that feeling? It takes your breath away, that ouch, eek. That's why I like Sensodyne Clinical White. Its triple action formula whitens, polishes, and helps protect against sensitivity. Plus, it protects against new stains for up to 6 months. So I can keep enjoying my iced coffee and everything else I love without the sensitivity. Whiter teeth without the wince. Try Sensodyne Clinical White today.
The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you're at a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
Welcome back to another episode of The Smiley Show. We have a guest on today, Akshay Bhatia. I know you're accustomed to hearing Smiley off the top of these interviews, but we got something a little special, a little different way to get in this interview today. The first place we have to start is, Akshay, this is your third appearance on the show. So Smiley, I think on the big board, that puts him just one appearance beneath Justin Thomas and James Nittes. Like, we're in the neighborhood of all-time leaders.
Pretty soon, that's going to get you into the next week with all these top tens you're getting on the show.
I mean, I think it's a good thing when you're on your show. So
we appreciate you coming on.
All right. So, Akshay, you're here to talk about the Travis Matthew modern tour shoes you designed. All right. I'm just going to call these colloquially the Akshay ones. All right. And I got some show and tell for you here. Okay. We're going to start with a picture of these shoes. This is me wearing these shoes in a tournament in Hope Valley this last weekend. And you're probably wondering why is this so zoomed in? All right. I want to take you back to Bay Hill. On the 16th hole, you hit a 6-iron and you almost hold out for Albatross. We got some symmetry here, okay? Because in this tournament, on the 15th hole, the par 5 of Hope Valley, I hit a 5-iron and hold out for my first ever Albatross. And oh, shoot, let's see the sorry about that.
I thought you just wanted us to show your quads.
There we go. Hold out for an albatross, Akshay. And so here's what I got. I'm wondering is like, I don't know if you made one of these in research and development or on the tour this year that we missed out on, but I think I'm the first person to make an albatross in the modern tours. Is this correct?
That is probably true because no one has them yet. So pretty epic.
It was. I've never made a hole in one. It's a very, very good feeling here. Have you played Hope Valley? Because I know you spent a lot of time out at Wake Forest growing up.
Hope Valley. Where is it?
Durham.
I feel like I have. I don't know. Is it a McConnell golf course?
It's not.
Okay, then I don't think I have.
That's probably Treyburn that you played out there. I will say, here's my quick review of the shoes. All right, love. There's no break-in foot pain. Usually first time I wear a pair of golf shoes, the dogs are barking. They have this foam sort of cushioning that was exceptional. I also love that there are so many years where amateur players were doing the spikeless thing. And now we're going back to spike. Traction was exceptional on these things, man.
Yeah, that's epic. Yeah, we did they did such a great job. You know, it only took a year to kind of develop what I wanted in my shoe. Obviously, I'm a aim point guy, so I wanted something that was going to be pretty flat all around, but still have comfort. Style was really important for me. And then, I agree. The break-in thing, you know, I get new pairs almost every week and I can put them on right away and go play and be fine. The traction was another big thing because I slip a ton and I use metal spikes, but with these, it's like I can go out and play, you know, at my local place here and not have to wear metals and be quite okay. So it's I'm glad they're getting some traction, and you obviously trying them, giving good feedback. So I'm excited for them to launch here soon.
I mean, we won our flight. I made my first out. I don't think I can ever wear another pair of shoes at this point. I mean, we're just gonna have to keep ripping with these. So well done to you. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, I was going to just go back on something that Akshay just talked about. I don't know who I was talking to recently about this, but when he mentioned just the flatness of a shoe and like how that really affects like how somebody reads a putt, especially with aim point, there was like, I don't know if it was a caddy or a player I was talking to, Akshay, that had like changed shoes like during the middle of the year. And they couldn't figure out why their aim point, like why they weren't quite as good reading the greens with their feet. But they realized like the shoe change like was a huge storyline with that because of just the overall like flatness or how it changed the shoe. I found that's interesting, man, because I think a lot of people, especially in this day and age with aim point.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. You want to have something, you know, you want to be as close to the ground as you can. I think if you ever seen Nick Taylor's caddy out there, he wears literally, they look like slip-on socks, you know, that, and he aim points for Nick. And it's also like a big thing when it comes to like weight transfer. If you have like too much heel lift, especially in the golf swing, it can be harder to actually get to your kind of like heel and lead side. So there's so many things that go into a shoe that obviously I don't know, but I've learned over working with Travis Matthew and watching videos and stuff where it's so important, you know, to have certain things, and your ankles and your feet are so important in the golf swing that especially in putting for me, that's huge, but also like stability, but still having some breathability. There's a lot that goes on to where, you know, we play so much, we walk so much, different golf courses where it's just really important. So I'm happy these shoes have, again, they look amazing. That's a big thing for me because I, you know, I appreciate good style and, yeah. And then the, you know, the,
I mean, the crew socks, they're great. Yeah, with a pair of crew
the
socks.
The workability with them is amazing.
I can't, Smiley, I'm just going to run this picture as often as I can on this show as many times.
I mean,
at least I have a reason to here, right?
It's definitely not an overkill at this point. I thought the zoomed in thing that you just felt like you're having like a good leg day.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Look at that. It's as good as it gets out here.
That's epic.
All right, well, actually, a couple more for you before we flip over to Smiley. We got to get some. You mentioned the dogs on the pre-show here, all right? And I saw a video of you about a year ago. You were getting a brand new SUV, and you're one of your first stated reasons was because we have a couple of dogs, all right? What are the ground rules in your household for dogs? Because this is a battle I lose every single time with my wife.
Good
These
question.
Dogs, Nora and Maxwell, have destroyed. They have so much hair in our SUV. They destroyed the upholstery. They sleep on the couches. They will like push me out of the bed in the middle of the night when they stretch. What are your house ground rules for your dogs?
They're honestly, they run the house, honestly. they sleep on the couch. They sleep in our bed. I mean, in the car, I try and our oldest always has sat in the front seat. I've tried to not let her do that, but she finds her way. So yeah, as long as they don't tear my, you know, things up and don't run away, they can free roll wherever they want to go.
I got to say, actually, we did a trip one time. We were driving from North Carolina to Florida, and I got off a speeding ticket in South Carolina because of our dog in the front seat. He came up there. He's ready to kind of write me up. I was like 25 over. He's like, that's a good looking dog. Just drive a little slower next time. It's like, great.
yeah, they can help you out with a lot of stuff. That's great.
All right, and the last two I got for you, because we got to touch on North Carolina in the show, is that I want to hear first your favorite North Carolina golf course to play, maybe growing up in Wake Forest. And also, I get a ton of heat on the show for maybe my dietary preferences. I'm a big like cookout guy, Oreo peanut butter shake. I know that's like a Ryan Gerard thing too. And so I also want to know, to go back to Akshay's teen years, what the go-to North Carolina fast food stops were, what the favorite orders were, before we flip over to Smiley for the rest of this interview.
Yeah, I mean, I think favorite golf course in North Carolina, man, we used to play this junior event called the Joe Chevis at Mimosa Hills. That's where Dewey lives, where Seb Straka's caddy.
Mimosa Hills.
Donald Ross, yeah, of course.
They have like a G Pro Tour event there.
Yeah, they have that. So I played that when I was like 11 years old. They gave me like a special exemption because I was too young. And every year I'd go there. I mean, it was just some of the most fun we'd have. It was a local kind of family that ran that tournament forever. And so that was like one of my favorite golf courses. It was also in the mountains, so you had some kind of cool scenic looks on certain holes. So that, yeah, definitely odd favorite. And
Oh no,
then,
love it. It's great. It's a classic.
yeah, man, we used to my friends and I would go to Raleigh Country Club all the time. There was a cookout down the street. We go to Chick-fil-A all the time. Cookout tray was obviously kind of the stable. And then Chick-fil-A, I feel like we did mostly, but it was always like, spicy chicken sandwich meal, fries, nuggets, milkshake, and then like Arnold Palmer. So,
What
we'd
was
always
the
kind
tray? What was the cookout tray?
I feel like I would always do, I'd always do the quesadilla. I'd
Yes.
do the
Like as a
mac.
side, you can get that as a
You get the
side,
case as a
correct? You
side.
can get
Huge
like
bonus.
double of everything. We do
It's
nuggets.
bizarre.
We do the like the fried cheese balls or whatever they were called. Fries, extra Cajun seasoning. And then I forget the milkshake I would get, but I want to say it was like a banana wafer
Oof.
something. It was amazing. My friend put me on it. It was electric.
Charlie, weren't we like recently somewhere on one of these major weeks where you just decided to skip dinner, or maybe we had eaten
I'll tell you
dinner and
exactly
then
what it
you went to
was.
cook out and got a milkshake?
I'll
Oh,
tell you
we were
exactly
going to go
what
to
it was. In the
T-Bones and you
Masters, it was in the
decided to go.
Masters. You guys were going to grab drinks at T-Bones. You're like, "Hey, meet me over there." And there's a cookout right next to the T-Bones in Augusta. I was literally, do I want to go out for a few more drinks? Like, no, I just want a
It was,
milkshake.
I've never been more upset because it was at the
I'm
end of the week. I was like celebrating, everybody's out, we're gonna have some drinks. Even Big
I
Plum was
needed the
there, and
shake.
then
I needed the
yeah,
shake,
you're
man.
like,
I had to
I'm
have
just
it.
gonna go get just
All
milkshaked by cookout.
right. All right, that's plenty of fun. Akshay, once again, thanks to you. One last gratuitous showing of the modern tours, the Akshay ones. And Smiley, you take it from here, buddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Charlie. All right, actually, we just finished up 2026 season. Always felt like the week after a couple different things would happen for me on tour. Number one, I would be exhausted, would try to catch up on sleep, try to do some things around the house that I've been putting off the whole year. But also, too, I would kind of get with my team, whether it's looking at stats, seeing, whether it's I need to put a plan together for the following year. But it's always that great time for just open reflection. Have you had any time to kind of do that yet? Sit down and kind of reflect on the year that was in 2026?
Yeah, I think like by myself, I have obviously winning is an amazing accomplishment each year if you can do that. I think that's when you look at like someone like Dustin who won every season for 20 straight seasons or whatever he did, it's pretty incredible. So that was a big achievement for me. I think everything else in between was pretty much mediocre. And I think there's the main thing that I need to focus on, which is just to become a better driver. I think to compete in big events and be top 10 in the world, that's a major factor. I think you look at most of the guys who are top 10 in the world and they're elite drivers, whether they hit it long or you look at a guy like Russell Henley who hits it, he's the straightest driver on tour. So that's a big thing I really need to work on. And I think I mentioned in another podcast, worth ethic is something I take pride in. I think I enjoy practicing, and but I think being more strict and diligent in what I'm doing is something that I'm looking forward to kind of have that plan and in place to where I'm not, kind of going through motion sometimes, because I think that can definitely happen when you're at tournaments, you're pretty regimented, and then when you get home, you're kind of, what do I really need to work on? So there's a couple of things that I'm excited for this off season, and then to really train really hard with my trainer, and try and gain some speed, some mass, protect my body a little more. So yeah, it's a lot of good things coming this off season.
And you're only 24 years old. I don't know why I think of you as like almost somebody who's 27, 28. Maybe it's because you've been a pro for so long and I've seen you over the course of the last 5 or 6 years play on the PGA Tour. Do you feel like you finally have that footing and just experience that you're at a stage of life where you're married? We've already talked about the dogs that you got running around the house, but it just like consistency in your life. Do you sense that? And do you feel that's going to be helpful as you move towards next year where you're not in a state of getting ready for a marriage or wedding, I should say, but all the parts of life that were happening to you at an early age?
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely feel like I've established this lifestyle a lot faster than most. Obviously being out, you know, around guys for a long time and playing professional golf for 7 years is
dude, at 24 is crazy, man. Yeah, you got so much experience at this point.
Yeah, I think I've learned so much each year. I think how to manage a team, who do I want, you know, on my team, the balance of life, what's really important, I think is something I'm still trying to figure out because I am a golf sicko when it comes to always wanting to practice and not being able to sit home. So there's, yeah, plenty of things that I think I've learned so fast. And I said this in, again, the last podcast I did, but I think it was when Jackson won, they listed, you know, the youngest winners on tour.
Yeah.
And I think I like was just off that list. I think Sergio was the last one at like 21 and 4 months. And I think I was like 21 and 5 months and I didn't make the list. And that made me upset because it's like, man, am I really like not relevant in the younger guys?
You're an old fart now, man.
Yeah. So that was funny. But yeah, I think, again, it's you learn so much each year.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of really good people. And being in Jupiter, I have a lot of, you know, vets that I can rely on when it comes to, you know, small changes and stuff.
Well, what else is also interesting, you know, you've been pro for 7 years. When you come out onto the PGA Tour, imagine that you're, you know, all these guys have all these different relationships with other players. You know, you're so young that you're just trying to make friends with players, whether it's playing practice rounds with them and trying to, you know, have them get to know you a little bit, but also try to pick their brain when you can. But I would say that you can kind of point to a couple different things that I can look at with TGL. You know, you have guys that are teammates on TGL that you've gotten to play with. I see that you always seem to be around Sahith Theegala, Goddard, Bridgman. It seems like some guys you've been around. So it feels like, too, not only have you gotten experience on the golf course, but it feels like from a friendship and emotional standpoint and people you travel with every single week, it seems like you have a really nice footing with a good group of guys out there now.
Yeah, I think that's something that is very hard on the PGA Tour is, you know, everyone's working for themselves and, you know, doing their own thing. And so this year, you know, Presley and I have found, you know, Jacob and his wife and Chris and his girlfriend, like we've gotten to hang out with them and stay with them, which we've never really done in the past, done a lot of housing together. And so that's really fun. I think, you know, when you see before everyone had kids, JT, you, Rick, you know, you guys would always hang out. And
that's right.
I think just having your core group, especially on tour, whether it is to talk about golf or to play games and just to have fun, you know, it just makes this lifestyle so much more fun and easier and less taxing, you know, because I think, again, as a golf, you know, sick of all I think about is golf. It can definitely consume your emotions. And so when you kind of see how other guys perceive, you know, after rounds and stuff, when they're not talking about golf and they have other things to talk about, it's definitely refreshing and gives you a different perspective.
So if it's you, Sahith, Jacob Bridgman, and Goddard playing a practice round, what's the game?
Man, it all depends. Me and Saul are just awful as teammates. I mean, every time we play at home, I think we've maybe tied one match. So, yeah, I mean, normally we'll do a birdie game. I think this year at the Open, we did a birdie game. We did a double game. It was me, Chris, Pat, and Xander. me and Xander were teammates. I think I made like three birdies and an eagle. Xander didn't do anything. We won a couple $100. And then
what do y'all play, $100 birdie? What's the game?
I want to say we were doing, yeah, maybe it was like $50 or $100 birdies. I think I made three birdies and an eagle. No one else really did much. Xander made a double. He was having a double game against Goddard, so he lost 200 there. But we ended up netting, $300-$400, which was amazing.
You've never been one to settle. Stand down or stand still. You're a lifelong learner, energized by excellence. There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. You've got competition to outrun, momentum to build on, and your own high standards to meet. Stop now? Not a chance. At Capella University, we help you catch what you're chasing because you've always had the drive. Now, go earn the degree. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cashback, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Hey, Akshay, who do you think the number one ranked player in the world is on Tuesdays?
Man, I honestly think it's, I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, I play a ton of practice rounds with Rick, and I feel like for the most part, he will make three or four birdies, and if he has a putt on the last hole to win money, it is going in. I have seen it three or four times this year he has had a 12 to 8 footer, and he is walking it in as soon as he hits it. So he is definitely a sneaky Tuesday.
That's my partner. That makes me happy. Makes me happy. And I need him more than I've ever needed him when we go play Jordan and JT in a match. So keep making that putt on 18, Rick. We're going to need that coming down the stretch. And all right, I got to go back to a couple different things. One, when you kind of described your year, you kind of described it as mediocre. And for me, who, of course, I've played on PGA Tour, I know the accomplishment of making the tour championship and how difficult that is. And honestly, like, you kind of did it with ease. And when I look back at your prior 2 years making the tour championship, now we have three straight years from 21 to 24 years old where you're making the tour championship. I mean, that's also something that you should be very proud of. Is that something that's a goal for you at the beginning of every year to make it to Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've had a really good year. You know, 30 guys only make it. This year was an easier pathway than last year. And I think, you know, Joe and I's first year together was great. There was a lot of changes this year. But I asked him this week, you know, because I've left Eastlake disappointed almost every year. And he was like, I don't think disappointed is the right word, but definitely, room for growth. I think that was something that I needed to change the dialogue on, because each year I've left Eastlake so disappointed in myself. And he was like, do you realize how great making it 3 years in a row to Eastlake is, that chances you've had to make it? And I was like, I don't realize it, you know. I think, again, being hard on myself is something I need to work on, or be kinder to myself. But yeah, it's always kind of on the list of goals for that, and making teams, and obviously can't control winning, but contending is an important thing too. If you can contend a ton and have an opportunity to win, then you can say it's a successful year.
You know, Chasing Sunday, the PGA Tour had this initiative this year to try to get a behind the scenes, or I should say inside access to players and caddies conversation over the course of the week. We saw it between you and Joe Greiner at the Players Championship. Of course, this is coming off of a very long and stressful week at Bay Hill, where winning takes a lot out of you. And then you get to TPC Sawgrass, which is a very, very challenging golf course that takes a lot out of you. It's a huge week for all the players. But we got to see you and Joe work together, and you could, I mean, it was awesome to see too, just how y'all's relationship, it seemed like although you'd only worked for, what was it, only a couple months to that point, it felt like you guys had a communication that lasted much longer than that. When you look at this whole first year with Joe, how would you summarize the impact that he had for you on the golf course and how you were able to play shots and try to achieve the goals that you were wanting to?
Yeah, I think, again, him being left-handed was was the biggest thing that I wanted.
So interesting, right?
Yeah. You know, when I was trying to get him for a year or whatever, that was a big component. Obviously, I knew he's won at many tough golf courses, so I knew he's really good at what he does. I think the main thing that was so interesting to me is I've always wanted people around me to like be right there with me and like watch me do my stuff and kind of give me details or whatever, like what should I do? Should I keep practicing? And Joe's one of those guys where, you know, he sets up my putting stuff or he's on the range and then he'll go talk to Austin Kaiser or he'll go talk to Scotty Vail or he'll go mess around with a putter laying around and stuff. So that was a really nice change of pace because he kept telling me, he's like, you own what you're doing here. Like, I don't need to be there for, you know, what am I going to do? So that was a nice thing because he's really good on the golf course. He understands how to kind of look at certain holes for me. And then when it comes to practice, he makes it, you know, he lets me take ownership. So Joe's really great. I think most for the start of the year, we were on the same page almost every time with a shot, how far we were trying to land it. And I think, we still have room for improvement. More so of like, how can I rant to him more on the golf course when I kind of get boiled up inside and, you know, small things like that. But again, for our first year to kind of finish the way we did and to win, you know, and I think it was like our fourth start together. It was pretty epic.
You mentioned the driver, and I want to ask your opinion on kind of what your next steps will be and trying to make that more of a strength in your game and how you look to the top 10 guys in the world. What was Joe's opinion to you? Actually, of course, he just went through a whole year of watching you tee off, you know, with the driver. What would be his suggestion on kind of the best way to try to get a little tighter?
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely have talked about it a lot where he's like, you are so good at this game and so talented. And like to be 15th in, you know, going into the Tour Championship, but being, you know, 120th in driving is really impressive. Obviously having closer to a go-to shot or like a one-way miss. I struggled with two-way misses for this whole year. And I drove it my best at Sawgrass, which makes, he's like, can't fathom that because it's one of the hardest places to drive the golf ball optically. You know, it's very nerve-wracking. I think a lot of it, you know, has to do with kind of my matchup and my golf swing needs to change. And the delivery of my golf swing. And then I think too, a lot of like the mental scarring I have of not wanting to hit it both ways is a big thing that it's going to take time to overcome. But
sure.
I think if I can get my golf swing in a more consistent pattern, it'll be huge. And then I can work around, you know, with the Callaway guys to get a driver that is probably more beneficial for me. I've been using the same driver for, I think, 3 or 4 years now because it's been really comfortable for me, but it might not be the best suiting golf club for me. So yeah, I've gone through ebbs and flows of getting my golf swing in a great spot before mm-hmm. the year. And then as we get more competition, I go back to my old habits. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to really work hard on my golf swing. I kind of want to change a lot of things and have a different DNA when it comes to off the tee. And then, you know, hopefully it can transition when I get into competition.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but your driver that you play with now, the loft is around like 6 degrees, which is very, very low for a standard tour head.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's set in -2, so it's around like 6.8 starting loft. But I think the more and more I've learned about my golf swing, you know, I have very low hands to start.
Mm-hmm.
My driver's really upright for start line. The loft is down so it can cut.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a lot of things that, again, I've been so comfortable with it, but
yeah,
it also can create the two-way miss. And with how my swing plane is, like most guys are around 48 to 50-ish, you know, when it comes to how they're delivering the club face. Mine, I'm around 37. And so that just makes your sweet spot smaller, and then the face wow. can deflect a little more.
Wow. That's why you're such a good iron player, though, because there's a little bit more manipulation in the descending blow of an iron. It's not going to be quite as a big of a deal.
Yeah. So my matchups with irons are great. I know I can control the face really well, but with driver, it's sometimes I feel like I can make a good golf swing and it can go one way or the other.
That's frustrating. So. That's frustrating as a player. So is it is it as simple as getting fit into something that's a little bit more of a standard head, standard loft, and then aiming a little straighter and then just kind of working through the pattern to get to where it's, you know, the start line of to where when you're standing on a tee box and you have something overhanging on the right, it doesn't necessarily sound the alarm bells. It is as simple as kind of working through that scar tissue and then also just kind of getting fundamentals a little bit straighter.
Yeah, I think it might be like reverse, where I need to get the technique great and then we can work on getting a gotcha. Driver that you know, works a little better for what I need. I think when you see a lot of these guys who are elite drivers, you know, Rory's probably 4 to 5 up and he probably swings it 4 to 5 right. So his swing direction is so neutral. I'm never going to be that way.
No, you know, it's opposite ends here, like Rory over here and then you got Akshay down
yeah.
here.
And but it's the same
are you
with
trying
like,
to get more towards the middle there? Like, or are you going to, what do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, again, I think I'm trying to not lose my iron game,
sure.
but definitely trying to just neutralize it to where I'm not restricted at tournaments.
Yeah.
Because I think when it, like, I felt most comfortable at the US Open because there's no trees, it's pretty big fairways, and I could start it. You know, I didn't have fear of starting it right. I had room to really curve it. And then when I get to Augusta is where I feel like this pinchy, you know, 18's so uncomfortable for me, 17's uncomfortable, 14's uncomfortable, 7's uncomfortable.
Shoots, man. They're just dead. Yeah. They're shoots. You just got to hit like, the start line. So important.
So that's where I feel like, again, I can play certain golf courses really well, but then it hurts me at many golf courses. And I think that's like at Arnold Palmer, I lost 4 strokes off the tee that week, which is obviously I putted amazing, but
you putted amazing, but you drove it better on the weekend. Give yourself credit.
Yeah. I mean, I hit the last 10 fairways, which was, huge. I think good, to know that I can do it under pressure, but, yeah, I think I'm excited to really change my golf swing, and go down some different paths that I've never
yeah.
done. And,
that's fun, man. It's exciting.
Yeah,
that's
it'll give me a good,
it's a fun
good
three,
plan
four,
for the off season.
Fun 3 or 4 months ahead. All right, so what if I tell you that we're sitting here a year from now and that you are top 20 in strokes gained off the tee? What do you think you would have accomplished in 2027 with that just that statistic that comes to mind?
I think I definitely have chances in major championships. That is a big thing. I think confidence overall in my game. I think when I'm driving it so poorly, it puts so much stress on everything else, to where I think this year this is where Joe's great too, because he's not an overthinker and I'm a huge overthinker. So I definitely have gone through ebbs and flows of freaking out with my game, trying to change so much so fast, and it's just not the recipe for success. So I think overall confidence will kind of be more stable throughout the year. And yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, I definitely want to make the Ryder Cup team next year. So if I can drive it better and be top 20, then I feel like I'll have a good chance with everything else that I have going on.
So Joe's, you know, when you get him like inside the ropes, he's a fairly intense caddy. Like he's, you know, very much in it on every single shot. It's not going to ever throw a shot away as a caddy. What is he like playing with, though? What is Joe on the golf course when you're playing with him? Do you enjoy playing golf with an intense golfer like that?
Man, he is so intense because he cares so much about winning. We missed a cut at the Open, and we played right down the street. It was me, my coach, Butchie, who caddies for Gary Woodland, and Joe. Butchie and Joe were on a team. My coach doesn't ever play golf. And his body is all messed up. But I mean, Joe would, he was playing with my driver, which was six whatever degrees, bunting it down there, landing 220, going 320. And then he would just chip it around, like kind of like make some of the grossest pars. And then he would hoop a 20 footer for birdie. He would storm to the next tee, pick up his bag. I was like, I mean, he is so intense when it comes to playing golf. It's amazing. And again, he is a crazy sicko thinker when it comes to his game. You know, how he should chip and what he should feel and all these things. You know, he's so excited to go try and figure stuff out. So, do I like playing with him? I don't know yet. We've only played twice, but the last time we played, I was like, man, I can't. He was just so into it.
That's so good, man. That's
and I was
so
just
good.
Having fun, you know?
I remember talking to you guys. This was at the putting green at the Travelers Championship. And you guys were, because I remember bringing it up because I hadn't had a chance to ask you about it, just with the cross-handed style of chipping. And I was like, where do you find the added benefit of chipping cross-handed? Because I've seen you do it a time or two. We saw you do it on the 18th green at Bay Hill. And I thought your answer was so interesting because it's very unique in the fact that like your golf swing is very like out to in, a little steeper, but like how that could affect your chipping. And you're like, dude, cross-handed, it's great because like I can't be quite as like cut spinny. It makes me kind of be standard. Like, how has that been this entire year? Just the evolution of kind of mixing that into the game when you have a bunch of green to work with and just a standard chip shot.
Yeah, Joe wants me to do it a lot more than I do. I did it a ton at Waste Management. You know, some longer shots.
That's a good week for it. You know.
Yeah. So I did it a ton. I feel like there. I did it on 15 at Bay Hill. 18, I did actually went north conventional.
Oh, you did? I thought you were messing around with it, but
I think, you know, I've worked with a, you know, one short game coach where I was on the opposite side of the spectrum where I couldn't spin it. I was very shallow. My contact, my low point wasn't as good. And so when I first started working with him, he got me steeper and cuttier. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went from this spectrum to, oh my gosh, I can hit any shot you want. And then it got like too far to the end of the spectrum where it was so steep, so cutty, where I would either get kind of like two hot low shooters or mm-hmm. I'd kind of get the face flare short left. Mm. So Ricky was the one where he was like, just hit a couple cross-handed. We were at 3M. And at first I couldn't even do it. Like my body wouldn't move the way it needed to. And then the more and more I started doing it, the more I was like, man, this is so easy. I'm not thinking about like the speed of the shot. I'm just kind of reacting. So I think it's great in practice and it's great in certain situations. When I have like lies below my feet and green working right to left, you know, that's where I'm like, it's obviously a cross-handed shot.
Wow.
Because it just spins a little straighter. It's still on the cuttier side, but it's just not as drivey. So my shaft lean kind of reduces when it comes to going cross-handed.
If somebody sucks at chipping is listening to this and they're thinking like, should I chip cross-handed? What type of person in their pattern should go and try it. Is it somebody that is like too like steep, like you're talking about, that makes big divots? Is that a person that would benefit from like trying crosshand? And I'm just trying to help out the people that are having a tough chipping summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think any golfer can do it. It matches up your body rotation. You're using so much of your upper yeah. body to rotate. So I definitely think it's someone who probably like hits behind it or knifes it all the time, whether you're super in to out or out to in. But it just helps you match up your body. And even if you don't do it all the time, it's like practicing that.
It's a good practice. I keep blading it when I try. Like the first couple times I yeah. tried it, I just blade it. So maybe it's a me problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's like, you just got to figure it out. But if you even, I watch Brooks like on coverage, and even if he has 50, 60 yards, he like takes a practice swing cross-handed.
Koepka?
And then, yeah.
Really?
If you go look back at like the US Open on hole, one of the par fives, like five or six, he had like 60 yards. He hits it cross-handed and then he grips it normal and then hits it. So,
huh, so it was just a feel he's creating. That's so
yeah.
Interesting.
So is it's a big rotational drill? Thing.
Because like Fitzy worked, because that's what he does. I don't know if Fitzy worked with Pete Cowan at some point in his career. I feel like
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I
know. Mean, maybe not.
He's the guru, so I'm sure should. There's some
look
element.
So easy, man. Like he doesn't. It looks like the easiest thing in the world. It's like, oh, you really want me to hit this chip over a bunker? Like, okay, fine. And he hits his spot like every time. It feels like.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good for people who maybe can't hit it high too.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to your podcast with Keith and it's like Scotty and Jordan are really good at hitting the low, but they're good at hitting their spots.
Yeah, they talked about margin. Keith talked about like margin of error too, which I thought was super interesting. Because like when you are too almost like cut spinny, especially if you start getting short side at all where they put hole locations on tour, you're like, is that first bounce going to be too much? Like it needs to land softer. So is that kind of the time where you can get a little bit more height on it? So, cause if you're too down and across it, that's where it almost feels like the only way to get height is if it rolls up the face, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where it's like, I feel like I don't necessarily have like, if I have a 14, 15 yard chip with four paces of green, my landing zone is like it barely needs to land on the green. It can't land just short and it can't land too far. That's where I feel like, oh crap, I don't have this shot.
There you go.
And that's why, like when I watch Scotty, it's his motion is so wild, but he can like kind of like just hit these high ones. And that's where I told my coach where some guys can look at a shot and hit it high. And like, for me, it's like, I have to hit this into the slope or bump it. So that's fine. Where,
but that's, you know, another added tool to the tool shed for the off season now. That's,
yeah.
I love it. We got things we're working on. It's great to hear. But there's a couple other things I have. One is that I found super, super interesting. When you go and look at your ball striking, especially your iron play, you could tell that you have a ton of creativity in the way you play. I've seen you play in various different trajectories, but also changing, not just being a cutter, like you have no problem working it left or right as well. And talking with Joe, one of the things that he mentioned is like, dude, Akshay is able to use ball speed as a determinant for how hard he's going to hit a shot. And that's like the high level of feel that he has. It's not like a clock swing like a Bryson DeChambeau. It's like, take it to 10:30. You could say, dude, 135 ball speed, 7 iron. I don't know if that even matches up at all. But like that's it can be that small of a number of a change that you're able to just refer to that ball speed and how that helps you hit a pin eye more often. That is a really, really cool thing that I don't think many other guys use.
Yeah. I mean, I think my coach and I, he's kind of ingrained it in my head. Cause I've used the TrackMan since I was, 15. I didn't really understand it. And then now I do, you know, I think we worked on my wedges. Like I know 83 miles of ball speed is 100 yards with my sand wedge. I know I just know my speeds. I know how far it should go if the spin rate's correct. And so that's where, yeah, I've just done it so much, and I'm always using TrackMan on the golf course, on the range. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, some guys can just feel it out, but
yeah, it's cool, man. Like we think like hit it a little harder, hit it a little softer. Like you have a number that you can refer to, which is cool.
Yeah, I've just done it for so long that I kind of know. I mean, my 7-iron ball speed is always kind of like 132, 130 to 132, depending on how my body's moving. But yeah, it's like if I'm hitting a draw 7-iron, you know, it'll get up to 37, and that goes probably 188 versus 182. It's like, yeah, it's just small things that I've just been so used to. And I manipulate the face so much at a dress, so I kind of understand those matchups more.
Yeah, Joe mentioned too, like one of the things that impressed him about you so much was that not only you were young and have all these different shots, but that your IQ for the game was really, really high. He said he hasn't seen like a young guy with an IQ that has just the feels that you are able to kind of manipulate the face like you're talking about to be able to add something to a shot. But he also mentioned too that you might have the best bunker game on the PGA Tour. Are we not talking about this enough? Like that you are potentially the most qualified, best bunker player on the tour. Are you going to go in and take the stand there?
Yeah. I mean, I think I did finish probably close to the top. That's hilarious. I mean,
he said you're sick, and I've always known you to be a good bunker player, but I need to like add that to the talking points for you, Akshay.
Yeah, that is definitely something that we aimed for at certain events. Which is funny, but yeah, I've hit some really like nasty bunker shots this year. The one Joe mentions all the time is hole 11 at Riviera. The pin was like front. I was in the bunker, you know, I have three paces of work
deep
with
bunker,
the lip.
Right?
Yeah,
deep
and I hit it to, you know, a foot or something. I've hit some long bunker shots really close. So yeah, it's weird. I think he kept saying that, and then I just kept believing it more. Like, my bunker game is sick. Like, just if I'm in a bunker, I'm going to get up and down, it felt like. So yeah, it was, it's been a good year in the bunkers. I need to keep doing what I'm doing when it comes to that, because again, I think my technique of being super steep, and cutty, I can hit some of those softer ones.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just sort of small things I've learned over time. Like if I'm short-sighted, I weaken a ton of my trail hand. I weaken it a ton. I'll roll the face a ton.
You will roll the face, and then you'll just throw it at the bottom?
Yeah, I mean, I'll roll it, and then I kind of just cut it and then add the loft. But my handle's still really forward. I think some people are, you know, can throw it this way. I'm more like dragging, but the grip's so weak, then it kind of just squares it up.
You've never been one to settle. Stand down or stand still. You're a lifelong learner, energized by excellence. There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. You've got competition to outrun, momentum to build on, and your own high standards to meet. Stop now? Not a chance. At Capella University, we help you catch what you're chasing because you've always had the drive. Now, go earn the degree. Capella University. What can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cash back, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Makes sense. Do you change clubs all often in bunkers, or do you use 60 primarily?
Mostly 60, unless it's like 40 yards, then I'll use 54 or 50.
Yeah, some guys will just go to that sand wedge and have a little bit more bounce, especially when the bunkers get the sand gets a little heavy. So I was curious if you're a guy, you know, considering that you are the best bunker player in the world, I had to ask you just so the people had all the right information here.
Yeah, I'll change it a little bit. But it's funny, at Arnold Palmer, like, there's like no lip and you're just looking right at the hole. So that was like the week where I told Joe, I was like, this is really weird for me because I'll have like a 9 yard bunker shot and I'm looking directly at the green and at the flag, you know?
All right, Charlie, I'm going to bring you back in here for this last bit of this conversation because I think this is super interesting. I was at, gosh, I don't know where it was, but I was looking at whose golf ball was whose in the fairway. And I was like, oh, that's Akshay's ball. I see the Callaway. But I noticed like how good the line of the golf ball was. Like it was a perfect line. Like there was no mistakes in how this line was drawn on the golf ball. And so is there a formula for the perfect line, Akshay? Because I am a line guy and I feel like I'm not as good as I could be after seeing like literally pure perfection.
Yeah. Well, I normally use the fine print on the edge. So I draw the outline and then either a Sharpie or the Milwaukee pens are really good.
Ooh. So it's then, a pen. If the pen make a big difference.
I've never heard about the Milwaukee. Now I need to go.
Milwaukee is.
Is that the red top, elite. Like the red cap?
Red body, black cap.
Oh, wow.
I've gotten those before. That's a really good Sharpie. And so, that could be the difference. It could be the pen.
It definitely is. I think some Sharpies like they're not consistent.
I
got it right
here. Yeah, I mean this.
Yeah,
great.
It's a little wobbly.
And all right, okay. Second question I have here is: do you think that when you put the line down for like where you're trying to aim it, can you tell sometimes like you're you get on the mirror and everything is absolutely right, but then you put the ball down and then sometimes if you just have the ball and the line just like a little bit either like this way or this way, just the way it's leaning, that it totally manipulates just your perception of where you're aiming. Has that like gotten to you at any times? Like, am I the only person that deals with lining up the golf ball just like not completely on top and being square?
No, my friend, there she is. She's Milwaukee. <beautiful. laughs> You can get a 12 pack for like $7. It's
huge.
Great.
Huge.
I used to be terrible at lining it. My friend who is a really good putter, I used to play with him. He was like, dude, you just line it like sideways.
I know.
I was like, what are you talking about? But the way I line it now, I don't have like the full line on top. So I
have like the, let's see.
Always got a golf ball, you know.
I'm so interested right now.
But I line it where this is up top, so I only have a little bit of the line showing. So I don't have it like all the way up top.
So what are you looking at? So tell me, so you're barely looking at the bottom of either the bottom or the top of the line?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at half the line. So
okay.
If that makes sense, but more so where the end of the line is where it's aiming versus it just being straight up and down.
So you're getting, all right, so you're getting the satisfaction of seeing the ball roll end over end, but without it bogging you down as far as where exactly it's aimed. So it allows you to still be free in how you aim.
Yeah, I would say my golf ball rarely rolls end over end, but...
I don't know about all that.
No,
actually.
I can promise you.
It really?
The only time it really rolls end over end is if I have like downhill putts.
Oh, man.
But for the
most
part.
Does that bother you or no?
No. I mean.
Sometimes some people get really anal about that. Like they use a line. They're like, oh my God, it's wobbly. We got to go work on our putting.
When I arm locked, I used to roll it end over end every time. And then once I switch to the broom, it's just not the same. But the ball, I know the ball is starting within a half a degree left or right. So okay. I'm not too upset about it.
I got two purple dots on the golf ball that I used to make an albatross. I don't know if you guys heard
here we go.
That or not. You know, we're in Akshay's shoes. Since golf balls would come up, I figured I'd throw it in there, you know.
We're going to see your quads again.
I mean, it's a great place to end this interview. I mean, look at those, man. That guy's got a good routine, whatever he does.
I'm just glad I'm glad your shorts don't go over your knees. That's an issue for me.
That's the short
because you really, the inseam on the shorts, it's a fine line between too long and too short. And I've been on either side of it. So I'm in a really good spot with my short length right now. Thanks especially for asking about that, Akshay.
Especially with all those cookout milkshakes.
Yes, you know, it mass is mass, Smiley. I think that's scientifically accurate.
It's ball speed. It's ball speed.
Oh, that's great. Well, is that it? That have we got, Smiley? Yeah. All right, Akshay. Thanks a ton for joining us. Thanks for the shoes. And best of luck in the offseason. You play internationally at all this offseason, or what else you got coming up next?
Yeah, I might play Japan. And then we'll see after that. Like I told Smiley, I'm excited to change a lot of my golf swing. So see how long that's going to take.
Good stuff, Matty.
Very good.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, y'all.
We'll see you soon, Akshay.
Yeah, thanks, Smiley. Thanks, Charlie.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.